The whores are stumbling.
I don't think so.
Maybe we just can't.
Hear them say, close your eyes now, King. Close your eyes now, King. Ether dreams are here.
Good evening. This is your captain. We are about to attempt a crash landing. Please extinguish all cigarettes. Place your tray tables in their upright, locked position. Your captain says, put your head on your knees. Your captain says, put your head in your hands. Captain says, put your hands on your head. Put your hands on your hips. This is your captain, and we are going down. We are all going down together. And I said, uh-oh, this is gonna be someday. Stand by. This is the time, and this is the record of the time. This is the time, and this is the record of the time. Captain again. You know, I've got a funny feeling. I've seen this all before. Why? Because I'm a caveman. Why? Because I've got eyes in the back of my head. Why? It's the heat. Stand by. This is the time, and this is the record of the time. This is the time, and this is the record of the time. Put your hands over your eyes. Jump out of the plane. There is no pilot. You are not alone. Stand by. This is the time, and this is the record of the time. This is the time, and this is the record of the time.
Ah, today's the day.
Well, you're off in a tizzy this morning, Chuck Todd.
Election day, sir. The most important day in the history of democracy. I get to go on TV and make it all about me.
Little Chuck Todd, always with his head in the clouds and his hair looking like shit.
Election day, when everyone is watching the news.
I'm all diapered up and ready to stand for 14 hours.
The most important election of our lifetime. Plus, Nate Silver interviews.
Our algorithm predicts Biden, but it also might be Trump.
And I will stand in front of this giant iPad real confused.
With 004 reporting, let's project a win.
And I will sacrifice this lamb if Biden starts to lose.
Two men, both presidential.
Election day when everyone tunes in to MSNBC in
prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Everyone, including all the people who drove past their polling place and thought the line was just too long to vote, is watching the news.
Across the Delaware in the dead of winter, I fought the world's greatest empire, and in the end, was it all so you could waste your days sexting pictures of your bonus to your idiot friends? Your founding fathers so disappointed in you, you misunderstood all my intentions. I gave you the keys to a new American car, and you took a dump all over the engine.
That's not what the founders intended.
Where are your well-regulated militias? Why didn't you preserve them? If you aren't going to use nukes to get revenge on the British king, then maybe you don't deserve them. What do women, Negroes, and Orientals have in common with property holders? Now it's the vote. You took Manifest Destiny too far. You should have just stopped at Idaho. You've been around 1,000 years, you still haven't started your first Dutch war. You failed to repel Beatlemania, and my nose looks too big on Mount Rushmore. What happened to your smallpox blankets? Why aren't they still contagious? Why no gay president since Buchanan? The proportion of peanuts in my trail mix is outrageous. Washington Airport after Reagan. That shit was mine. Just when it was finally getting good, you go and cancel Deep Space Nine. How come when I go to the carpenters to get my teeth fixed, there's always a line?
That's not what the founders intended.
Babies crying on airplanes. You telling me we can't amend that? And by the way, what the fuck is an airplane? I certainly didn't intend that. My guitar intends to rock like this!
Stuff, man, yeah.
What do you think about? We don't want you having me. The fuck up your dummy. It's gonna change. It's gonna change.
anti-Reagan and stuff, man, yeah. Anti-Reagan and stuff, man, yeah.
There's one thing I want to know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Is our hope lost? Is there only hatred and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I want to know.
What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Love and understanding.
trusting. And where is the harmony, sweet harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slip away, just makes me wanna cry.
What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Disco Station Hotel. How may I help you?
I would like to check into my room.
Surely, could I see your ID and a credit card or incidentals?
Yes, here it is. Do you have a room by the elevator?
I will check for you.
Can I set up some turntables in the room?
Surely, let us know if you need an extra power bar or extra slip mats.
Thank you. You look happy.
Thank you.
You look fit.
Well, there is a gym on the top floor.
I would like to get some regular exercise there.
Three days a week.
I love that band. Is there a code for the Wi-Fi?
No, but we have a dial-up modem in every room.
How late is the restaurant open?
It closes at midnight, but the kitchen in our bar nightclub is open until 2 a.m.
Who is DJing?
Someone by the name of Kid Koala.
Never heard of him.
Me neither.
Is there a place that can deliver a pizza here at 3 a.m.?
I will check for you.
Wake up, Boat Bob. I believe in Mr. Bob.
Dreamer?
Yeah.
haven't seen too many around lately. Things have been tough lately for dreamers. They say dreaming's dead. No one does it anymore. It's not dead, it's just it's been forgotten. Removed from our language. Nobody teaches it, so no one knows it exists. The dreamer's banished to obscurity. I'm trying to change all that, and I hope you are too. By dreaming, every day. Dreaming with our hands and dreaming with our minds. Our planet is facing the greatest problems it's ever faced. Ever. So whatever you do, don't be bored. This is absolutely the most exciting time we could have possibly hoped to be alive. Things have just started.
Hey, thanks. Not a problem.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for. I agree with the second part.
Nirvana on 90.3 FM KUSF, and we are in the studio with Consolidated Welcome. How you guys doing today?
Yeah, right. Good. How you feel?
I'm fine. Hey, serious stuff going on in the world, and we're going to talk all about it, but first I want to ask you this. A lot of people talk to me, they mention, they go, Consolidated, they're a bunch of hypocrites. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'd say, yeah, we are hypocrites, but for the left.
Category D. Industry, corporate.
I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
With freedom's choice, the people.
voice of the president.
And that goes for you, too. And that goes for you, too. And that goes for you, too. And that goes for you, too.
In 1775, the son of a wealthy Virginia landowner, a gentleman farmer who had served 7 years as a colonel in the British Army, was appointed by the Continental Congress to be the commander-in-chief of the Colonial Army. George Washington was to lead 300,000 untrained, ill-equipped citizen soldiers against the armies of Great Britain.
From Bunker Hill to Yorktown, 6 long years, they fought, retreated, turned, and fought again.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And they finished up at Yorktown with a mighty will, what they started up on Bunker Hill.
The Revolutionary War had been fought, the victory won, and General Washington returned to his wife Martha at Mount Vernon to resume farming. But the new nation he had helped to create couldn't spare him. The country seethed with unrest. Congress was without leadership or power. Its paper money worth next to nothing, while tariffs brought trade between the states to a standstill. As Washington sadly wrote to a friend, "There are combustibles in every state which a spark might set fire to." He attended the Constitutional Convention as a delegate from Virginia. But his reputation and prestige made him its natural presiding officer. After months of heated debate and prolonged argument, a new form of government began to emerge, and men of conflicting opinions looked to George Washington for leadership.
First in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen.
Washington, who favored a strong central government controlled by wealthy, educated men, nevertheless scorned Alexander Hamilton's proposal that a monarchy be established with a titled nobility. He stood staunchly behind the new Constitution, and the states, which feared the strong central power embodied in the Constitution, placed their faith in the integrity of a man. In 1789, George Washington, by unanimous vote of the electors, was chosen to be the first president of the United States. Everything in his administration was a first in American history. He appointed the first cabinet, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, Henry Knox, and Edmund Randolph. The first new states, Vermont, Kentucky, and Tennessee, were admitted to the Union. The Supreme Court met for the first time. The National Mint was established. The first census taken and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, were adopted. Washington served for 2 consecutive terms. An infant nation groped for identity, and as her parent, Washington faced all the hardships and outrages of political fortune. He was called tyrant and accused of injustices and imprudence. The beginning of a two-party political system made him the target of every ambitious politician. It was with a sense of relief that George Washington saw his 8 years in the presidency come to an end. Now, at last, he could retire to Mount Vernon. He had given his life to his country and guided her first faltering footsteps to the path of greatness. In December of 1799, he caught a cold that developed into a high fever. As was the custom of the day, the doctors bled him. And knowing the end was near, Washington spoke his last words. "I thank you for your attention. You had better not take any more trouble about me. But let me go quietly." The news went out, and everywhere people wept. Throughout the young country, the nation mourned the loss of its father.
First in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen, the father.
In his bright red tie, he's in the Oval Office like a pig inside a sty. I know you're out there. I know you're out there somewhere.
You did an album a few years ago called Joe's Garage, which is somewhat prophetic now. Because
it's apropos of this, yeah.
The banning of rock and roll. Tell us a little bit about that.
Joe's Garage was written right about the time of the changeover in Iran, where the Ayatollah comes into power. And one of the first things he does is outlaw Western music and put the whole clamp the lid on music in that country. And you've seen some of the other fascinating things that can happen when a country is ruled by a religious sect. No matter what you think about religion, I think, my opinion, is that religion belongs in the church and government belongs where government does work, and you don't mix the two of them up. Government is something that's supposed to be practical, and it is supposed to manage the everyday affairs of the people who rely on law and order, running water, garbage pickup, gas and electric, you know, organized, civilized business. That's what government is supposed to do. Not deal with morality, not deal with matters pertaining to religion. You want to worship something, do it in your own heart, in your home, or in a church. If you must, do it over a television set. That would always be the last resort. But when you start mixing the two of them up, you wind up with things that look and smell like Iran. You know, and there's nothing, as far as I'm concerned, there is nothing too terrific about that.
Okay. just love the way these Copenhagen stomps. And driver, McDoodle. That look like that stuff Freckles lets out once a month.
This is the Central Sclerotinizer. Poor Joe, he's getting tired from bending over. But we tried to warn him. Didn't we? Okay, Joe, you asked for it. Here comes the big one.
Completely from the face of the earth.
There's no games, right? No games, right? We're not playing games. There's no games, right? No games, right? We're not playing games.
Home games, foe games, woe games, war games.
There's no games, right? No games, right? We're not playing games.
Should I keep the Twitter going or not? Keep it going? I think so. You know, the enemies keep saying, oh, that's terrible. But you know, it's a way of bypassing dishonest media, right?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to year-end wrap-up. As you know, all your correspondents this year have been out on the road. Charles Garage, Randy Rasmussen, Henry Fitzmilo, and I... Hal Stark. Ray Stark, the movie producer, was going to be here, but he's on strike against himself. So, gentlemen, we'd like to take this opportunity to get your impressions of the campaign trail and...
It's a little late in the year.
Don't look at me.
What happened?
Before we start, I think that you ought to give us your name anyway, though.
Well, I haven't remembered my name yet.
I just wanted to elicit that. It's been such a long, hard campaign.
You're with the Fire Sign Theater, aren't you? I was with
the Fire Sign Theater, I think, yes.
Well, it's been a long, hard campaign trail, and you can forget your name as easily as you can forget who won.
Just a second. Phil Peter Dave?
Oh, that's my name. Phil Peter Dave.
Oh, well, that makes it easy. Listen,
let me start over again.
All the way here.
I know, because I was with it
for this show.
Yeah.
Yes. And would you pass a little plastic cup, please?
Oh, sure.
Charles Garage.
There you go.
It's right there by your chair, Senator. Thank you.
Coming at you there.
Are you Dan Rather?
No, Charles Garage. Isn't that what you called me there? Phil, Pete, and Dave.
Right.
Yeah, see, we know who we
okay,
are.
Okay, all right, let's get serious. Charles, let's get serious.
You're
kind of
Hal Stark, and you are
let's
Randy Rasmussen, right?
Randy X. Rasmussen of the Randy X. Rasmussen Institute for the Study of Big Bucks in Big Bucks, Pennsylvania.
Mm. Is the X added to your name an indication of some Negro ancestry or just a kind of...
No, Catholic ancestry. It stands for Xavier. Everybody
cut out the crap. Let's talk about the goddamn results.
Okay, Hal.
Are we recording this?
Hal, sure. Let me start with Hal Stark, our most loud guest. Hal, were you surprised by the surprising Reagan victory at the polls?
We talked about it on the whole time on the
airplane.
Is this
being recorded?
Hal.
Fuck no!
Oh, Hal.
I bet on it!
Hal. You have to control yourself. This is the media, Hal. I tried to explain to
them on the plane,
you guys. The whole
thing. Let's cut the crap, okay?
Okay.
Let's cut the crap and talk about reality.
Okay.
Now, look, what's his name is now president.
Yeah.
The other guy's out.
Yeah. Gone.
Who's going to profit from it? This is the question. Big business?
Big bucks. Big bucks on the happy man. Look at the smile on Randy Rasmussen. He's smiling because the man got in, and it means big bucks is at the top of the mountain.
Charlton Heston, the president, ex-president of the SAG.
He's got big bucks. He's a happy man. I talked with him today.
He was interviewed today, and they asked him if he thought that Reagan, ex-movie star, would help the movie industry. And he said he didn't care. He thought there were more important things, like a positive defensive posture.
Mm-hmm. 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 In SAG?
Yes,
defensive
in SAG.
Toward, who is SAG going to be defensive toward?
SAG's going to pull up all those wrinkles in our defensive slouching posture and make us tough, tough, tough.
We're going to start making those big, big buck-making, big, big war films
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let's cut the crap.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Go ahead.
My son bought some real good dope from Patty.
Reagan?
Patty Reagan.
Patty Reagan?
Now, she may make a
name. You're on your own here.
I'm ready. I don't have any work. I don't care about the rest of you fuckers. I'm out of work.
Well, you're just on your own now.
You bet. You can cut the fucking swear words out if it bothers you. Okay? Who the fuck cares? We lost, you know what I mean? Maybe we didn't. Maybe we won. Only America knows.
Uh-huh.
Listen.
Okay.
I had an interview the other day with Reverend Narco Marx O'Toole of the mental minority. He thinks he's in like Flynn. He slept with the guy's wife. What's her name? Nancy?
Reagan?
No.
You know what he said?
You're just on your own.
She likes brownies.
I mean, really. You're on
your own. She likes brownies.
Very intimate. Very,
and you know what?
It's going to cost you
big
bucks.
So does he.
When Nancy Reagan comes after you, it's going to cost you big, big bucks.
I'm clearing the fuck out of here. I got one thing to say.
Yeah, Hal.
What the hell was it?
Hal Stark, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Wait a minute. I haven't finished it. You're not going to get rid of me that easy.
Boy, I am the nicest talk show host I've ever run into. Most people would have thrown this guy. Tony Tennille would have thrown this guy right off the air.
Yeah,
I can
be nice.
Something about brownies.
Well, as soon as he remembers this, we'll get down to some serious political discussion here. Ready, Hal?
Go ahead. I'll think of it in a minute.
His brain has been fried.
Let's talk for a minute to Charles Garage. Charles, you have been, as it's called, on the road, out there among the road apples and road hogs.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, what's your impression of the kind of grassroots?
Spent a lot of time on the road traveling around behind most of the candidates. I know one of our favorites, Daffy Duck, with him all through the Midwest, and then there was kook candidate. I was behind him for a while. The studio sent me out there. You know,
Wapleer?
Wop double O double L double E double R.
You know that
man is a crank and a nut. He doesn't understand finance.
He was very big in Washington and Oregon just after the volcano. They were all behind. It had to do with the wobbly nature of the ground, something like that.
And everybody the wobbly nature of his
they
platform.
Were seeing double and. He was having doubles, and that's what got him ahead.
I know what it was.
How?
I know what it was.
What?
His son got married very quickly after he was elected, right?
Extremely quickly.
Why?
Why not? Does he have to wait till June to be
sure.
a June bride?
A young man, I think, could get married at any time, whether
certainly.
His father was
he's
president or not.
A dancer.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now he's married. America
You figure it out.
Oh, hey, you're
who
on your own.
Who are you protecting?
Look, Cary Grant.
How accessible can a president be? He was a movie star. He made 53 terrible films. Some of them were great. His wife hates risky jokes, and they love brownies. He loves to be lambasted. You know, he loves to be made a fool of. He's an actor. Look at his hair. He knows how to look good. And his kids are all cuckoo. They're cuckoo. So what's he going to do? Huh?
What?
America? You're going to find out. He's only got a couple of years.
Thanks, Hal Stark. Thank you very much.
That's very,
another very,
very
interesting opinion and, very extremely well wrapped up.
You know the
up.
Thing about his hair, do you know
oh, he's
that,
a fucking idiot.
Oh, what do you know? Leave, Hal. Leave.
That,
don't push me out.
The president-elect actually...
I'll leave when I want to leave.
Bye, Hal.
Everybody else said leave.
You know that Hal didn't drink before this campaign.
It I'll leave it. Get out, get out.
Drove him to drink the rigors of the campaign. He was a calm, kind of NPR-oriented, kind of, listener sponsor kind of intellectual before this began, and he's a ruined man.
He's driving around.
Did NPR send a limousine for him, or is he driving?
No, he drove. You know who drove him here? Wop Lear himself. Wop Lear, the guy down there in the...
You're kidding.
Yeah, he's driving a cab now.
Cab, yeah.
Edsel cab.
Well, at least he's not driving himself.
Yeah.
I did want to explain about Reagan's hair that the True Facts did come in very recently, and that is that he gets his hair cut every 10 days. Every 10
right?
days
right.
by the same barber. He's had the same barber for 25 years.
Well, I believe that the Fireside Theater did a special report on that man a while ago. He's a Beverly Hills couturier.
Mm-hmm.
He charges $25, I think, or something like that for his haircuts. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if indeed...
$24.95.
Yes, yeah, sure.
The kind mm-hmm. of shop that they...
Bring and in. I think he gives what they call the invisible haircut.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse
is that
me.
The
it
Bever-
sounds like a terrible accident down there.
Beverly Hills oh, Barber College.
That's your car, isn't it? No. Charles Garage. Charles,
right into Charles.
Are you driving that big thing still?
Is our producer Jack Daniels still here? Him.
Yeah, Jack is here. Jack's off.
It was a rental car. It's all right. Just
could Jack drop
car.
Over maybe over to this side of the studio for a minute?
Upstairs and fill out some forms on that.
Okay. So there you were in Alabama behind Wop Lear and
no, I was
our
in
other
Oregon,
guest.
In Oregon behind Wop Lear, however, I was at the... there in Animal, Missouri, when the, the concession speech, but I declined to run speech came through from the great Surrealist Party candidate, George Papoon.
Was that a nut?
Is it true? I wanted to ask someone.
A nut and a
we'll get you in a minute.
He doesn't know a penny from a nickel and
Randy,
nickel from a dollar. We'll all just, these people you've been talking about are cuckoo nuts. They've never had a tie on in their life. They wouldn't understand. They think CPA is some kind of drug. These people are cuckoo nuts, and the smile on this face, on this pumpkin face, is because my man got in and because my men are going to be running this place for the next 4 years.
Oh, okay.
So watch out,
Randy.
Mr. Devo, intellectual, fixed income person.
Okay,
we'll have more about that
This
later.
Is Randy. This
You're
is Randy Rasmussen.
Don't opinion. Fool me with your good attitudes. I know what you think. I don't care what you think.
Randy,
I've got tax laws on my side.
Come on, okay. Randy,
I can buy and sell you.
Dave.
This man lives
very, you know,
in a tax shelter.
I don't mean to be abusive. I'm just a tough, straightforward business advisor.
For someone who doesn't mean to
like
it, you certainly do it well.
Jump off the building.
Okay, let me ask you a question now.
Sure.
Mr. Reagan, of course, has changed his allegiances quite a few times during the course of his own pseudo-political career. He is a good actor. We know that. Mm-hmm. We also know traditionally that the Republican parties are known to put forward people who are good, well, let's say, fronts for the business interests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Eisenhower, you were out at the opening of the Eisenhower Museum out there, the library.
I was selling my book there.
Okay.
I made big
right.
Did you bucks get, that day.
And
did
the
you get one of those bumper
was,
stickers that says, I slept with Truman's wife?
No.
Oh.
No,
no.
I'm trying to be serious here, and you're being
Sorry.
Flippant.
We're going to talk about money in just a second, and I want to hear a little reverence.
Money doesn't have to be that serious.
Why do we have to be so
the question I'm asking you is this man a president, or is he just a figurehead? And are the big business interests indeed going to take over? Because, I mean, let's face it, Jimmy Carter was also a businessman.
Carter was a nutso. He was a petty bourgeois nutso.
Now, just
he is the only president in the 20th century whose net worth has gone down during his tenure of office. That is nutso slophead.
His net worth
had nothing to do with his presidency. No, let me tell you about Ronald Reagan.
He suffered from shell shock like every president does when he gets into the orifice.
They threw him out right on his nut.
Let me tell you about Ronald Reagan. The business community is going to do so good under that man that when he retires, they're going to put him on a bill.
So, Randy, personally, how are you doing now these days?
I made a fortune on this election.
This is on the Institute?
The Institute makes a fortune. I make a fortune.
What?
Sometimes I make a fortune and the Institute loses money. That makes money for me, too.
I've been told there are a lot of banks of rooms down at the Institute with a lot of older women manning phones.
In fact, there has been some rumors
that you're running actually a bookie operation in there on the election.
A boiler
room. How do you respond to that?
If it was illegal, I'd be scared. If it was illegal and I wasn't making as much money, I'd be scared. I can buy myself out of anything. The administration that's coming in right now says, look, make money. We don't care how you make it. The more you make it, the less we'll take away
from
you.
But the question I have to ask
sounds
is,
did the people have a choice? Did the people have a choice? This is a special interest representation.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So what were we voting? Were we voting for or against? That's what I have to say.
Well, what about social services?
What about social security?
What about the little bunnies?
Give me all those nutsos junk food and rent.
But there's a lot of little bunnies and puppies and little kids with great big brown eyes and
tears coming down from them, the rats in little dresses, you know, like that.
Who is going to support these people? Who's going to support the people who have to ride around in buses all night?
Each other. I mean, that's not my quote.
Whose quote is that? Lenin?
Well, they used to be able to eat each other until the Environmental Protection League comes around and says, you can't eat each other unless you've been proved to be economically or environmentally pure.
It
takes you so long to fill out an environment.
That's why there's no cannibalism
left in the world. If you want to eat an animal in your yard,
yes.
It takes you so long to fill out the environmental impact report that the little sucker is miles away before
you're
you get back.
You're saying it's better to just impact him with a big stick.
Whoop him with a stick. Eat him. That's Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, this is the mental minority talking.
Big stick.
This is the mental minority talking.
Wait a minute, what I'm asking is that the mental minority.
Now, these are a group of people who want to get together.
Are you talking about the motel minority?
No, not the motel minority. They get together in one motel room.
The mental minority are a small group
of people, but they all think the same. They want it to be a small
Reverend
group.
Reverend Jerry Falstaff.
It's less expensive.
I know their man. I know
you can have
man.
A meeting in a motel room. All right.
As long as you're all there.
Yes, and there's some talk that this kind of reactionary element. I must say, I agree with one thing in their platform, which is that they don't want to do anything, they just want to think about it. I agree with that.
They're in a majority there.
Yes, but beyond that, there are a lot of reactionary people, and they claim, their leaders claim that they have no control over them because they're such a small organization, they can't afford to control their membership. All right?
Mm,
so if somebody goes out and, you know, kills insects or something... They and blames it on a candidate who then loses an election because he's an insect killer. And there have been pamphlets put out saying he kills insects.
Postcards. They use postcards.
Postcards.
They beat
McGovern.
They
say, I'm sorry, we don't know anything about that. It certainly did not come from our organization.
Too small. Not enough money to control our membership.
Exactly.
If they had the bucks, nothing would stand in their way. The people that enter 1981 with the big Missoula are the ones who are going to come out with all...
Okay, Randy, it seems to me that you are tending to repeat yourself.
Of course I am.
You tend to say the same thing.
I've come home. This is heaven what's coming.
Okay, and we'll be right back with more of the same right after this nothingness.